Okay, we're glad you're here tonight to study again from God's Word. I invite you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. This is certainly a watershed event. The kings before had all served for 40 years each. And now it comes time for Rehoboam to take on the sovereignty. And in chapter 12 and in verse 1, we begin the reading. It says, "Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, he was living in Egypt, for he was yet in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent and called him, and Rehoboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam and said, 'Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you.' And he said to them, 'Depart 3 days, then return to me.' So the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive. 'How do you counsel me to answer this people?' Then they spoke to him, saying, 'If you will be a servant to this people today, and will serve them and grant them their petition, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever.' But he forsook the counsel of the elders, which they had given him, and he consulted with young men who grew up with him and served him. And he said to them, 'What counsel do you give me, or give that we may answer the people who have spoken to me, saying, "Lighten the load which your father put upon us"? The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, 'Thus you shall say to this people who spoke to you, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us." But you shall speak to them, "My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions." Then Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, "Return to me on the third day." And the king answered the people harshly, for he forsook the advice of the elders which they had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, and I will discipline you with scorpions." And, of course, soon after that, the kingdom is divided. One of the first things I want you to look at tonight is there were some mistakes that Rehoboam made. One mistake is that he didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. Surely God's counsel was available to him over in Exodus and in chapter 34. Or in Exodus, not Exodus, in Joshua chapter 9. In Joshua chapter 9, we hear the story, or we read the story here of a group of people called the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites had understood that the Israelites were told to go and utterly destroy all the people in the land. And the Gibeonites, they decided that they wanted to go and they wanted to see Joshua. It says in verse 3, it says, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also craftily set out envoys and took worn out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended and worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and it became crumbled. It looked like they had been on a long journey, a long trip, long hard trip. They went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where did you come from?" And they said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. We have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, to Og and to Shihon." So in verse 11 it says, "So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions in your hand for a journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us. This, our bread is warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day we left to come to you. But behold now, look, it's dry, it's crumbled. These wineskins we filled were new and now they are torn. These are our clothes and our sandals, which we have worn because of a very long journey.'" Then verse 14, it says, "So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord." He was supposed to go. He was supposed to go to Eliezer. He was supposed to go and go before the Urim and the Thummim. And therefore, Eliezer would inquire of God as to what they were supposed to do. And Joshua made a decision not to do that. In fact, over in Exodus chapter 34, and in verses 12 and 13, Exodus 34, in Exodus 34 and in verse 12 it says, "Watch for yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land you're going, or will become a snare in your midst, but rather tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah." Well, the other thing concerning Rehoboam was that he not only didn't listen to the counsel of the Lord, he didn't inquire of the counsel of the Lord, but he inquired of the wrong counsel. Now, what can we learn from all of this tonight? If we find the Lord's counsel, we don't need to look any further concerning anything else. We have the Lord's counsel. Any decision that we make, we ask the question, Has the Lord said anything about this for us to make a decision on? In 2 Timothy and then chapter 2, or in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 16 and 17, he says that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. How many examples today do you see of people not seeking God's counsel? How many books today are written about the end of time? You go to the library, you go to the bookstore, and you ask for books concerning the end of time. They have a Left Behind series there that certainly you can read about. But you're not inquired of God's counsel, because God's counsel doesn't talk about that. Or maybe picking up books about marriage. You go and you pick up books about marriage that are written by infidels. They know nothing. They know nothing about a godly marriage. If God has spoken on a subject, do we need anything else? Over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 8 and in verse 19, Isaiah chapter 8 and in verse 19. In Isaiah 8 and in verse 19, you see where the people are inquiring at this time. In chapter 8 and in verse 19, it says, when they say to you, consult with the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Can you imagine that God has told you something to do, and you go and you go to a palm reader, you go to a fortune teller, and try to find out what you believe you ought to do in your life? Well, many times that's what people do. Many times when God's word gives us answers, He gives us answers many times in broad principles, not just specifics many times. Principles in some way or another that we need to apply to ourselves. Maybe like parenthood. When you want to study about parenthood, maybe you first have a child, you want to know something about parenthood, well, you can go and you can read Dr. Spock or read someone else, or maybe you could go to the book of Proverbs and find out what the Lord wants you to do as a parent in very broad principles. There are some things that God hasn't spoken about. God didn't speak to you. He didn't speak to me about where our child ought to go to school. There are many choices concerning where a child ought to go to school, but there are some broad principles that we understand about teaching children, and specifics as well. You have words in the Bible, especially in the old Bible, the old King James, about lasciviousness, or licentiousness. And the idea here is, it's very broad, but it could mean something like what you should wear, what you should not wear, concerning a child of God, those things that are decent, those things that are indecent. What places that we should go. Or on the other hand, what places that we should avoid. Maybe that of personal conflicts that come up. And we understand that we should always let love motivate us concerning personal conflicts that come up within our life. In Matthew and in chapter 7 and in verse 12, Matthew 7 verse 12, it says, in everything, therefore, treat people in the same way you want to be treated, or to treat them to treat you. For this is the law, and the prophets. Maybe it's a personal career choice right now, concerning a choice you're going to make. I know Taylor and Evan, they call me and talk to me about choices that they have for churches over in North Carolina. Very few churches in the state of North Carolina. You'd think there'd be a multitude of churches in North Carolina, but there's not. And they're having to drive 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour, I think, to a church they were going to try to visit today. What am I going to do? What job am I going to accept? How is it going to affect me? Well, these are things that we ought to consult to the Lord and from the Lord and try to find out some answers concerning this. Where's God spoken on different issues? Maybe you're trying to figure out counsel at this time concerning what you want to do. Do you go to TV talk host? I mean, is that where you'll find out? Well, I'm going to turn into Steve Harvey today and find out what I need to do in my life. Or even worse, I'm going to turn into Jerry Springer today and find out what I need to do in my life. No, you don't make those decisions. He had stated in Titus and in chapter 2, in Titus 2 and in verse 1 beginning, Titus 2 verse 1. Titus 2 verse 1, it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." And then he says, "Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love, perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, be subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Are you going to look to that? Are you going to look to older people for counsel? Or are you going to look to something else that God doesn't want us to look to? Last thing here tonight, and I've just jotted some notes down concerning this. But we need to go with an open mind and be ready to listen to people. Rehoboam took his friend's advice, those young fellows that he ran around with, because they were saying, what he wanted to hear. You remember, we talked about it just for a second in the Bible class this morning, but over in Numbers and in chapter 22, in Numbers 22, concerning the story of Balaam and Balak, it says in Numbers 22 and in verse 15 beginning, it says, "And Balak again sent leaders." He had sent them before, but Balaam had told him, "No, this is what the Lord has told me to do." He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do. So Balak sends a group of people back again. In verse 15, we pick up the reading. It says, "Balak sent leaders more numerous, more distinguished than the former. They came to Balaam and said to him, 'Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me. For I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me.' Balaam replied." Now, back in verse 12, it says, "God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.'" So now down in verse 18, "Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God.'" Hold on. It says, verse 19, "Now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me." What else, Lord, are you going to say to me? Looking for some loophole. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 4 and in verses 1 through 4, 2 Timothy 4 and in verses 1 through 4, 2 Timothy 4 and in verses 1 through 4, it says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom." He says in verse 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come that they will not, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. What does that mean? What that means is here the false teacher was a product of the people. That's hopefully what Rehoboam thought was going to happen with him. That this was going to be a product of the people. But again, we see what happened with Rehoboam to where the kingdom divided out. They didn't want God's counsel. Just like Rehoboam chose not to have God's counsel. The question is tonight, and we're concluding now, but do we want God's counsel? In John and in chapter 7 and verse 17, this will be our last verse tonight. John 7 and verse 17, he asked the question here. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. If anyone is willing to do his will. Is that you tonight? Are you making a decision tonight that I tell you what, I want God's counsel concerning what to do concerning the will of God? Well, the counsel is that you hear, that you believe, that you repent, that you confess, that you're baptized into Christ. That's the counsel of God. And the counsel of God is that you live faithful unto death. Now, are you going to believe the counsel? Or are you going to obey the counsel? Or are you going to go in your own direction? Whatever your need might be, I invite you to come now while together we stand and we sing.